Welcome to The Rink, your source for hockey talk without the entitlement. I'm James Tapelake-Graylian. This week, I was lucky enough to talk to Jay Veen, hockey fan, podcaster, and it turns out, huge hockey jersey nut just like me. Jay runs the Avs Hockey Podcast, so you can imagine what we're talking about. That's coming up on The Rink. So, Jay, thank you so much for joining me for this thing, especially because I haven't had as much of a chance to watch the Avalanche this year as I really like to.
Thanks for having me. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing based on how the season
went.
Yeah,
this was a pretty, exactly. Terrible season.
But thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
The thing is that as Avs fans, I mean, we've never seen a season like this, exactly. Unless you go back to like the Nordiques, of course.
Exactly.
And when Ron Tugnutt was being the goaltender, and I think he won like five games in a season.
It was ugly.
And he was the starter.
That's right. Those pre-Sakic days were pretty nasty.
Ooh, yeah. And now, you bring up Sakic, now we're dealing with the post-Sakic era.
I've wondered, and I've tweeted a little bit before too, is like, is it going to be Avalanche hockey? You know, is Avs hockey still going to be Avs hockey without Joe Sakic? And it doesn't seem right. And I don't know, you know, him being hurt and knowing he may come back eventually, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. And knowing that he's still there and whatever.
Yeah.
There's no telling what's going to happen now.
No.
But yeah, obviously Avalanche, all the fans are just a little down. And it's tough to deal with, but I also feel very fortunate that we had the chance to watch a guy with, I don't know, for those of everybody that saw the press conference and knows Joe Sakic the way we all know Joe Sakic. It was a pleasure watching the guy on and off the ice. I've met him before and it made me an even bigger fan. And you hear the stories and during the press conference and you like him even more. And it's he's an amazing player and I'm happy that we all had the chance to watch him on such a high level for so long. And it was just too bad that his career had to end the way it did.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause when, Peter Forsberg left, mm-hmm. It felt like an end of an era, but that was
for a different reason. Who knew he would come back anyways, but it was definitely, it was something we knew was coming with Forsberg and Blake during that off season. And it wasn't any, you know, more or less disappointing to watch that happen. But, just to know that I'm glad he got to end his career here too. I mean, some people have talked about, you know, him going other places, which would never happen. And he's obviously going to live here during the off season or, you know, during the rest of his life as well, too.
Yeah. So, it's really unfortunate he can't play in the Olympics now.
Yeah. And he shot that down really, really quick. That was one of the things that came up from people who weren't able to watch a press conference live or anything was, what did he say about the Olympics? And he said, there's no way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He said his left leg still wasn't going to be strong enough to really do anything. He said he'd help Yzerman in a complimentary role in management, but it's good to see him leave when he knew it was time to go as well.
Yeah,
he didn't hang on a little too long, or didn't try and go out there when he knew he didn't have it anymore. We can say Billy Guerin or somebody like that, you know?
Or even Forsberg. Peter away Forsberg. With that foot. I mean,
exactly.
That's, how do you?
But
do
he
that?
Came back and played. It's just amazing to watch these guys.
Yeah.
You know, half power to be able to play just as well as everybody else. So
yeah.
It looked like he was okay with his decision. I mean, he's upset that he doesn't get to play the game anymore, and I think he's obviously going to miss it. But it's good to know that he was ready, and the fans would have never been ready. It really didn't matter. But you don't want to see him go through, like, you know, a 40-point season and him play every night and him not be the man anymore. Peter McNabb talked about that to where, you know, big face-off, he's not out there. That's not going to feel right for him or the fans. So, you know, like I said, it was great watching him. We have a lot of great memories and, you know, you just got to say thanks, Joe, and know that there'll never be another one like him because the Yzerman-Sakic debate has come up, too. There's nothing to debate. They were both unbelievable players.
Yeah.
There's no use saying who was better than the other because they both did some great, great things for
the game. If it weren't for the rivalry, we wouldn't have that debate anyways.
Exactly. So it's fun to kind of bring up and kind of throw around. But
It's fun to throw it back at, you know, Red Wings fans.
Exactly. But their numbers are eerily similar, but they're just – they're just unbelievable players, and there won't ever be, you know, another one like them, probably for either franchise, depending. So,
yeah, I hate the fact that it kind of ends with the gag of the snowblower. Yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, it. I was talking to Tom a little bit about this last week, and that it was funny for a moment, and now it's just kind of like like hockey blogger or search engine optimization.
Did you watch the press conference?
I only got to see what was on Fox News.
There was an old radio guy there who used to do the news for a local radio station. He used to do sports for a local sports radio station. Mm-hmm. He was just there because I think you know, people knew who he was. He lost his job a couple months ago, which is never a good thing. But he brought that up. He said something about the snowblower, and people kind of snickered. But it was like, you know, now's not the time to bring that up. Right. It's not.
Do you remember who it was?
Yeah, it's the G-Man from the Fox.
Oh, okay.
That's who it was. And I'm not quite sure why he was there. He just, you know, he didn't have anything to write with him. He just, you know, he said he was unemployed. And I don't know. It was just kind of a strange thing. It was kind of the Woody Page type thing. I don't know if you saw
Page. The Woody Page, yeah.
And that was you know, except for the end, pretty embarrassing too.
Yeah.
I was kind of, you know, discouraged that was brought up, but Joe Sakic's, you know, the video and all the stuff that they showed, it was great. And I think they did a good job of, you know, respecting him, his career, and really honoring him for what he's worth. So yeah, it was cool to watch.
Adrian Dater did a real good job of covering it and talking about it. I thought I actually got a chance to chat with him a little bit, and you know, he did a pretty good job.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's got to try to not, you know, bring in too much of his feelings, because I think he's made a pretty good connection with Joe Sakic throughout the years. He's followed the team for that long, and you know, you end up, and you're not exactly a family together, but you spend so much time with each other. It's, you know, he was obviously, you know, in his blog, he's able to express a little bit more than he can in the papers. But he was obviously upset. He said he was going to have a hard time, you know, keeping it together. And he did. Yeah. But he feels like a lot of the fans do, which is really cool.
Well, who's left from the original? I mean, that's it.
You got Adam Foote, and that's it.
Yeah, and Adam Foote left and came back even, and, you know.
And so. Columbus is really upset about that. And he's talked about he wants to play for a couple more years. I don't know if I see that happening.
Yeah, I don't know.
If he stays healthy, maybe. Yeah. But if he's hurt and kind of playing it, you know, anywhere – you know, not anywhere near 100%. I don't know if that's going to happen here. So.
Well, I think it's good that you bring him up in the context of Sakic, because we've been, you know, the other great debate, quote unquote, for Avs fans is who's going to be the next captain. Mm-hmm. We've got Adam Foote, longtime Avalanche. I believe he was wearing the A last year, right?
He was, and he wore it during his first stint before he left as well. Mm-hmm. And he was captain in Columbus as well.
But, you know, of course, he's not going to be around forever. Mm-hmm. And also the question for me is, who else is ready? I know what I would like to see.
Sure.
Which is Stastny at some point. Exactly. I don't know if this is the point yet, but at some point, yeah, I'd love to see.
Totally Paul agreed Stastny. On that. Totally agreed.
So where do the Avalanche go at this point?
You know, I don't know. And it kind of depends. It's one of those things that, you know, when I'm following the team as passionate as I am about them, this is something we can't really control. I mean, we can say who we think might be,
right?
And we can say I told you so or whatever. But you know, we're all thinking about it for sure. And I think the smartest move for the Avalanche, at least for right now, would be Adam Foote for maybe a season, maybe two seasons.
Right.
And then I think Stastny will be ready to take over. Hejduk has worn the A in the past. Ryan Smith wore it last year.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Smith is gone, but
LaPerriere wore it.
LaPerriere did, and I think he'd be a great captain as well. Yeah. I don't quite think Stastny's ready, although a lot of teams have been going with the Sidney Crosby type things to where you're a captain for this long, and you know, they did that with Sakic and Yzerman as well. And Stastny's definitely, when he stays healthy, is definitely, I don't know if he's that, he's not very comparable to those two just as far as the style of play, but he's definitely that kind of a player.
Okay.
So I think the team would go with Foote for maybe a season until, I think he only has 1 year left on his contract
to
where you bring up a good point as far as, you know, we know Stastny's going to be here for the next, you know, hopefully as long as he wants to stay here and is good enough to stay here. So,
yeah.
You know, Hejduk's name comes up every once in a while. It just doesn't strike me as that.
He doesn't
kind of a
strike
player.
Me as that leadership.
Yeah.
You know, he's a great player,
yeah.
But you know, he kind of reminds me of a little bit of Joe Thornton in that respect, where if you were to try and thrust that kind of responsibility onto him because he's such a good player, but that doesn't mean the same thing as a leadership role. And I think he could lead in a different way than having to be the guy.
I agree, and I think the difference between now Joe Thornton, I think, is the type of player to say, I'm taking over this game, and this is what we're going to do. And he's always been that way. Hejduk just really hasn't, and I've come to accept that, and doesn't frustrate me anymore. But when, you know, the Forsbergs and the Sakics and everybody's out, you need that one guy to step up. You know, in the past, it's been Ryan Smith. Hejduk's just that real steady player that comes in, night out, doesn't say or you know, he's not that real big rah-rah guy, but he just comes out and gives you that solid effort. But he's not the guy that says, I'm going to take over this game right now, boys, let's go. So he doesn't strike me as captain material. Either way, no matter, you know, whether it's, you know, Foote, Stastny, or Hejduk, it's going to look weird seeing somebody else wearing the C. That's going to be the weirdest part about it. But I don't know. Time will tell, and the team obviously will make the decision. But yeah, my bet's Foote, but that's just my best guess.
Yeah.
We'll just have to wait and see. If they really want to kick Stastny, you know, kick Stastny's game to the next level. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
You go Stastny. And I don't think any Avalanche fan would mind either one of the three that we talked about as the captain. So we'll see.
I think, yeah, I think you're right, though. I think Foote will probably get the nod before Stastny does. You know, he's going to have his shot. I think they're definitely looking at passing on to Stastny eventually.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think anybody argues that. And I honestly think, I think Adam Foote has really earned that distinction. I think they'll obviously retire Joe Sakic's jersey October 1st. Mm-hmm. Forsberg, when he officially retires, will be next. I think Adam Foote, for his longevity with the team, even though he did leave, but he came back, and I think the fans love him. I think they'll retire his number as well.
Yeah.
So past that, I don't know. It's going to be a while before they retire another number, but you know, I was there for a concert. I was at Pepsi Center for a concert the other night, and I'm always staring up, and the Bork and the Wah. The Wah banners are up there. It's just really cool to see him and think about that. So,
Puck Daddy Greg Wyshynski is he was bashing on the Avs having the Bork jersey retired.
That's right, after a season and a half or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It really wasn't very long.
Yeah. Not very long, but you know, I think you honor a guy like that. I think he's more pissed off that Claude Lemieux isn't up there in the rafters right now.
Exactly. Talk to any other team in the league, they'd cheer that. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Is Lemieux retired in New Jersey? I can't remember if he.
I don't know if he is or not. He's jumped around a little bit. He's had an impressive career. I think the next discussion with Lemieux is whether he goes to the Hall of Fame. So, you know, you got Conn Smythe and four rings, and you know,
it's hard to
especially what he brings. I mean, you watch the old highlight videos, you know, in 96, the Forsberg, Kamensky, Lemieux line, man, they were tough.
So, yeah,
in a lot of ways as well. So, you know, I don't know.
We gotta wait another 3 years though, because he came back. So
exactly. So he's officially retired now too. I don't think he'll go in, you know, with Sakic, but
he looked pretty beat up when I saw him in San Jose. Yeah. He, I remember he even got in a fight, and the next day at practice, he was looking and flexing his hand, and it was he looked pretty beat up.
You know, I think it was good for him to come back and prove everybody wrong, because everybody said he couldn't do it. They said there's no way. How old is he?
44, 40.
Something like that. They said there's no way he makes it all the way
approaching back. Chris Chelios, but not quite.
Isn't that everybody in the league? So I thought it was really cool that he could come back and prove everybody wrong. And I think that helps you retire, you know, knowing that you did pretty much everything that you could. So, So I don't know. We'll see how far the next captain and kind of go from there.
Yeah. Now, if the Ryan Smith trade hadn't happened, do you think that maybe he would be up for it?
That was my next. I said in my podcast last year, I believe he'd be the next captain of the Avalanche. And he's just that kind of player. He's not necessarily rah-rah, but he has that kind of charisma and that leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are comfortable with that. Hayduk obviously isn't. But I think he would have been a great next captain. And I don't know about the trade, you know. And I guess it's easy to walk away from the game when your team is like this, as far as Joe Sakic, and when they come to Ryan Smith and say, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, having to do with the football around here with the Broncos, word gets out that your team's looking to move you because of your salary. Mm-hmm. It's tough to go back. It takes a pretty strong person to be able to say, you know what? I don't mind that much. It's a business. I understand that. I'll stay because I like it here. But that trade kind of floored me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not necessarily upset about it, because I'm not a huge Ryan Smith fan. I do like the way he plays the game. But, you know, for his paycheck, he really wasn't doing you know, I don't know. It is that time in the NHL where everybody's watching the paychecks, and I don't know if he earned his money. He was fun to watch, but he's hurt a lot. And again, when you're paying a guy that much, you expect him to take over a game or two. And you know, there's not that many games that you can look back in the last few seasons and say, "Boy, if Ryan Smith wasn't an Avalanche, we wouldn't have won that game."
So, yeah, that's true.
LA was an interesting choice. It'll be interesting to see him and see how well they do, because they've struggled for so long.
My first thought for Tanguay was actually LA. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe he would go there. It seemed like a great fit. And now that Smith is there, it's like, well, okay, I guess that role is filled.
It's amazing the list of guys that aren't signed as far as restricted and
Marty
free
Baron,
agents. Yeah,
yeah.
Like Phil Kessel, as tough as he was last year, as far as I know, he's not signed. And it's kind of a strange time in the NHL right now and in pro sports in general. Well, you know, with everything going on with the money. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see. You know, you obviously wish a guy well. He's a good guy, but he was pretty quick to jump ship. I don't blame him in a sense, but, you know, he also had a pretty big opportunity here to be part of, you know, the big turnaround, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So,
well, the Smith thing for me, I always feel bad for Francois Chiguer on this. You can tell me what you think about this. My feeling has always been like the year before the Smith deal, the big free agent splash was Tyler Arneson, you know, and that's just, and then the Avs wind up missing the playoffs for the very first year.
Right.
And, Francois Chiguerre is expected to do something because they didn't do anything the previous year. And no. What does he do? He goes and gets the number four free agent, basically tacks on Hannon onto that. And it was exactly what was expected of him. It's not like, to me, it was always like, well, okay, the guy had to do something.
Right.
And he did something.
Mm-hmm.
And then got kind of shafted for doing what everybody really wanted him to do.
I think it was the, you know, it was really extreme in both ways. You know, he brought some great players in.
Yeah.
The Smith and Hannah. I mean, everybody's pretty excited about those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And I was obviously, excited. You know, he was part of the Foot and Forsberg thing coming back, and everybody loved him for that. And it's just what we're accustomed to as Avalanche fans. But I don't know. He ended up over. I mean, Darcy Tucker.
Yeah.
People here are just all over him, myself included.
I'm not a fan, yeah.
I'm not either. I mean, he and Tyler Arneson, it's just really tough to watch them. I've always been curious as far as what the other offers were for Tucker, you know, and what the other teams really offered him, you know, after Toronto bought him out. Because he's just, you know, you want to piss off an Avalanche fan lately, mention Arneson or mention Tucker.
Yeah.
And Arneson is a little easier to mention swallow, now since he's gone. But, you know, without Darcy Tucker, people have brought up all the possibilities that would have happened if you know, his contract isn't on the books right now. But it just wasn't a very good move. And it was just a really extreme offseason, an extreme last season, just as far as the injuries and as far as, you know, all the other issues that were going on with the Avalanche. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I know people do not like Tyler Arneson, and they don't like Darcy Tucker here, and I can understand why.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And now we've got another tough guy at Cochy.
Exactly.
Who's, David Cochy. He's not, I haven't seen anything in any of the YouTube videos that make me want to say, boy, I really want to put this guy up against somebody like Derek Bugard or anything.
Exactly.
You know?
I think they just wanted to find somebody to protect the Duchesnes and protect the Stastnys and just somebody that'll have people think. And now that LePerriere is gone, I mean, they need somebody. So.
And he left cheap, too. It's almost like the Dan Hynote thing. Dan Hynote leaves the team, and it's not like it was more money. But it wasn't that much more.
Exactly.
Money. And
I think there's always some things that go on in the background of these deals that we'll never find out. And it's just those people to people interactions. Somebody says or does something. You know, Lacroix has always said, we don't negotiate with players. So I think, you know, maybe their agent came in and said, we're not, you know, I don't know. But there's something goofy that went on that just said, you know what, I'm over it. So
do you think that, like, the Lacroix attitude flies as well in the salary cap age where you do have a little bit more where you can play against teams and, you know, you may have a cap, but also, you know, certainly in free agency right now, there's a lot more money being thrown around that doesn't need to be.
Exactly. And then you end up with the Tuckers of the world where they're just overpaid and nobody will take them.
Right.
Scott Hannon's a good example as well. And to answer your question, I'd say, no, I don't think it flies as well. I wish it did. I really worked well when there wasn't the cap, but you look at the Avalanche post cap, and it's been a struggle.
Yeah,
it's been a struggle for a while now. As much as you know, I really earned some respect back for Pierre Lacroix during the press conference. I thought it was really cool to hear him speak because he never speaks to the press, and he even mentioned it to Adrian Dater during the thing. He said, "Look, you know, especially Adrian."
Yeah,
you know? And it's just one of those things. The fans want to know more, but you know, how much more do you really want to know?
Right.
You know, do you really want to know what Ian LePerriere's agent said or what Ian LePerriere said? You know, I don't know. And like I said, there's so much more that goes on that we'll never find out about. So I try to stay away too much from getting frustrated by that stuff because there's always that human element that comes in. But Lacroix earned a lot of respect back from me.
Yeah.
I think the organization is better with him than they would be without him. And I know a lot of people are going to hear that and go, no way. But the press has really gotten on him about being a puppet master. But I think there's stuff that goes on with Lacroix too, coming down from Kroenke.
Right.
Where we'll never know, you know, but I know jerks and real idiots don't last very long with classy organizations and they've decided to keep him around. And there was a really good article by Woody Page a couple days after the Sakic retirement about some of his discussion with Pierre Lacroix. And it was really cool. It was really interesting to hear a little bit more about Lacroix. And I'm a fan of his. I met him before. He's a really, really good guy. And we went out after a game. The Avs have been struggling for a long, long time. And he was at the restaurant with his wife.
Lacroix?
Oh, okay. And we had our jerseys on and everything. And he made it a point as we walked by to say, you know, was that better, guys? You know, and he doesn't have to do that. But I thought that was cool. So I've been a fan of his for a while. But he's got some things to prove. And if he, obviously, if this next round of rebuilding or whatever we want to call it happens, he's got something to prove. Yeah. And he says he wants to get the team back to where they once were, and we've got to start somewhere, and we're going to do it. Yeah. And I believe him for now. That's just me being optimistic, though. So
I don't think you can call it anything other than a rebuild right now. I think
absolutely not.
Anybody who doesn't say it's a rebuild is kind of not really. Mm-hmm. I think I wouldn't say being dishonest, but not having maybe not completely buying in yet. And exactly. It seems like it's time to buy in. Considering you know
the Avalanche, one way or another, have really been for one reason or another said you know little words will make a big difference. So if they let Peter McNabb and Mike Haynes on television say what they really like to say, people aren't going to go to the games, which isn't right. True. I think real fans are going to be there anyways. You know, I think that's all part of it. I just think if they're just trying to be a little bit more sunshiny, so people think things are better than they are. And if you say it's a rebuild and we're going to dump salary and we're going to sign some low price guys and we're going to do our best to save some money through the next couple of years, they think they're going to lose a ton of money, which, you know, I don't know. I don't know how much ticket sales, you know, I think it's the big sponsors where they make the big money, but you got to take care of your fans somehow, some way. And they're always walking that line between really how much would you really like to know about what's going on and let's think about the future rather than what's going on right now.
So. Right. That seems that way in Denver sports anyways. I know this is a hockey podcast, but at the same time, wasn't it that for a long time, even the Denver Broncos, the big, you know, the big football team, wouldn't show highlights on their billboards that would go against the Broncos.
Exactly.
And, you know, there always just seems like that that little bit of sunshine.
Yeah.
That everybody's trying to blow, and I don't. Maybe that's everywhere. I don't see enough of the rest of the world. Everybody complains about homers, but at the same time, you know, it's
In the end, I really appreciate what Mike Haynes and McNabb do, and I know, and I've heard for a fact from Adrian Dater that they're not allowed to say a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
and that's disappointing because I think they could be real tactful about it, rather than saying, you know, that was a crap play.
Right.
You know, maybe something like, boy, he'll want that one back, or here's what really happened. Or I think they do a fairly good job. But
rather than like Ian LaPerriere mug somebody.
Exactly.
You know, totally, you know.
That should have been
wrong. Instead they'll say, that was a veteran move right there.
<That's> right.
Yeah.
What game
are you guys watching?
when any, you know, natural hockey fan would obviously disagree with that.
Yeah.
So this will always be a Bronco town anyways, though. I mean, when the Broncos play, it leads off all the news stories and everything like that. Just because they've been here for so much longer. And the way the Nuggets have played lately, that created a lot of excitement as well. So,
oh, yeah. I don't think I've seen that many Nuggets jerseys around
ever in
my time. And
And there's a few fans that'll follow teams through it. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to you know, hopefully the Avalanche getting back to where they once were. And knowing I'm not going anywhere. And I'll always be an Avalanche fan no matter how well they do. And maybe I'll regret saying that someday. But I just like watching them play. And I enjoy the game. And I'm a bigger fan than I am anything else. So. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see the next couple seasons and see if it's as bad as everybody thinks it's going to be, or maybe they'll surprise a few people. I'm not saying they're going to win the Stanley Cup, but maybe they'll exceed a few expectations where people get a little more excited again.
Mm-hmm. So, I want to talk about the team definitely and what we've seen and what some of what we're going to see. And I think we should start with Duchesne, third overall pick. Avalanche have never drafted that high.
No. It was a new feeling for sure.
Yeah.
It was weird to be excited about the draft. Because in the past, even some of the bigger drafts, it was like, I don't know who this kid is. But it was really neat to be excited about the draft and really follow the first few picks. And I'm happy it was deep this year. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of interchanged between him and Tavares as far as where they were going to go. And some said one, some said three. And Hedman was always two to Lightning. But
I was never believing for a second that Tavares was going to go first. I thought if Snow didn't pick Tavares,
they would have burned down.
Yeah.
I heard they were going to burn down the arena.
But, yeah. But if you've seen that arena, maybe nobody would have noticed.
Exactly.
That was a dig.
Sometimes you got to do that, though. But. I'm excited. It was really cool to follow a draft. I was out. Actually, I was on my way home from a golf tournament, and I'm on Twitter, and I'm just waiting for that next pick. And it was neat to see. I don't know if you saw the YouTube video, but Duchesne pump his fist after they chose. Was it Tavares 1 or Hedman 2 or whatever?
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool to watch a kid who's grown up being an Avalanche fan because the Avalanche have been around just long enough for that to happen, to end up with the team that he's always followed. And he doesn't get to play with his hero, but
that was one of the things I thought maybe this is a reason why he won't retire. Maybe he'll just have one more year.
He just didn't have it in him.
No.
But I'm excited to see the kid. I've heard a lot of great things about
him. Have you seen any of his video or anything?
I saw some of the video from development camp, and it's impressive.
Stick handling is impressive.
Yeah,
he can lift a backhand one handed. Just the way he can flip the puck, and
it's not
he
bad.
was. it was the real deal. I was really impressed. Now, mind you, of course, it was camp and not the pressure of a game, but if he can do that, whew.
I'm excited to see him against the big boys.
Yeah.
And whether it's this season or seasons upcoming, people are starting to talk about, oh, he's the next Joe Sakic. Can we have him have like a decade worth of great years before we start saying, oh, it's the next Joe Sakic?
Yeah.
That's a little too much. But
I think everybody just likes to be right about that stuff. Sure. They just would rather say, hey, I told you so.
I'm going nowhere near something like that. Just to let you know.
Me neither.
All I know is that I'm excited to watch the kid play, and I hope he brings some excitement to the game. And I hope when it comes to playing against you know, the grown man of, you know, instead of juniors and everything like that, that he's everything that people say he's going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not expecting to come in and have this unbelievable year. I wouldn't mind it, obviously.
Yeah.
But those top three picks, I'm glad it was deep enough.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to watch him grow up and see if everybody was right. I hope they are.
I think they're going to be. They signed him to his entry level contract, 3 years, of course. Do you just a wild guess? I'm gonna ask for a prediction. Do you think he'll be playing with the Avs next year, or will he be down in the minors with in the AHL level?
You know what? I don't think even the Avalanche know that
quite
yet. I think they're gonna have to see him play against the big boys and see exactly how he does. I'd love to see him up, but you know, with the signing bonuses and everything he had, it's not gonna be that big of a cap hit if they keep him around. You know, I don't really. Can you see how I skirt around all the predictions and everything? I'm just like a hockey player. I don't say anything, but I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him for a whole season. I trust the team to make the right decision. Mm-hmm. But there have been some really bad decisions, and it really messes up some kids to go up and play the whole season when they're obviously not ready. And
Stamkos is a great example. Stamkos of that,
and Fabian Brunstrom was another one for Dallas. He started off really, really well as a young guy last year and just fell off the face of the earth, and now people are all over him.
Yeah.
So you definitely don't want to do that. They're going to be very careful. He's a big investment, and he's obviously a quality player.
Yeah.
You know, I trust the team to make that right decision, although, you know, based on this offseason, it's tough to trust the team. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
With basically the minor league coach Joe Sacco being the new coach of the Avalanche, that kind of gives him a little bit of a perspective on the rebuild and who he's got down in the minors. And of course, Absolutely. You know, we saw a lot of the younger guys,
most of the guys from Lake Erie last year.
Yeah,
I don't know a lot about Sacco. I do know I'm a fan of Tony Granato and how the whole thing was handled, because the whole Patrick Watt mess and. I don't exactly know. If they knew they were going to get rid of Granato, they should have done it a long time ago.
Yeah.
I feel bad for what happened to him. I don't think he deserved that. I really don't think it was necessarily his fault, the season that happened last year. I mean, you've got, I don't know how many man games they lost, but it was an unbelievable amount.
Yeah.
And when you're down to Joe Sakic and a Paul Stastny for most of the year, take the top two players off of any team in the NHL, including the Detroit Red Wings, and you're going to have a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know a lot about Sacco. I do know, you know, rosters in the minors and rosters in the big leagues are two totally different things, and he can't control. He didn't have a very impressive record down in Lake Erie, but it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to watch him and with Sylvain Lefebvre and Steve Konowalczyk and some of the old guys that we're used to seeing. It's kind of interesting, you know, as I get a little bit older to see the guys that you watched
Dead
not
Marsh.
Long ago. Dead Marsh, the video coordinator. That sounds like a cool job. I might go after that myself, but yeah.
I don't know.
It all the broken promises, though. Tony Granato promised this upbeat style last year, and he promised all this and that, and then he loses, you know, half the team to injuries, all the guys he needed around to make that stuff happen, and then people just jump all over him. I mean, I think
especially because he had the previous exactly. attempt, which, you know, again, I don't blame him for that one either.
No.
It's, you know, you try and bring in the superstars and too many of them, and you know,
it's
Solani obviously needed surgery for his knee.
Mm-hmm.
Correa was injured, and he didn't, you know, he hasn't shined since he left the Ducks. So,
exactly. Ask the New York Yankees. The best team, the best players don't make the best team, that's for sure. So, you know, it'll be, I don't know. We'll see. The health is such a big key these days, because you can't afford to buy the depth that you need, which the Avalanche always had in the non-cap era.
Right.
It's hard to find those guys that are worth their money. And then they outplay their contract, then they have to go.
And one of the things I always banged on the Avalanche for was that they didn't have a good minor league system for a little while. Because when they left Hershey, they were sharing with North Carolina in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sharing doesn't help your goaltenders one bit. You can only play half your goaltenders half the time or knock them down another level.
Yep.
And finally, they started taking it a little more seriously with Lake Erie Monsters and looking at I look at the ECHL level right now. They're still sharing,
exactly.
unfortunately.
Exactly.
But, yeah. With Columbus of all teams.
Oh, goody.
Yeah.
There was actually a Columbus fan talking stuff this year on Adrian Dater's blog about them sweeping the island. It was like, oh, geez, please stop.
But, yeah.
you know, I don't know. We got to look at a lot of the young talent come up last year, and it wasn't too bad. They moved a few of them, but TJ Gagliardi had a pretty good feel for it. Looked like he's somewhere near ready to come up and contribute. So hopefully this year they don't have to use as many guys as they had to last year, because it was just unbelievable. All the last game of the year, they did the jerseys off their backs, and all the guys on the roster bring out a jersey, and you know the there's like 10 guys on the IR at that point, and it's just, you don't see that very often, especially the quality player that was on the IR. So I don't know. Hopefully the minor leagues are as deep as the organization says it is. Mm-hmm. But what organization is going to say, we're not that deep?
Right.
You know, we're in trouble for a little while. They're not going to say that. So,
especially not a very proud organization like
this. Especially like this one. Exactly. Hopefully that pride's not going anywhere. It's a little bruised right now, but
little.
You know, they'll be back.
Throw a couple names out at you and just get your impressions. David Jones.
David Jones is like one of those guys that when he's healthy, he's just a lot of fun to play. The goal against Vancouver he scored last year, where he kind of laid out, he did the Superman thing, was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's got the size, he's got the speed, but he just can't stay healthy enough. And those injury machines are just tough to cheer for. You can ask me about Merck Svatos. Is he on there too?
Yeah, Merck Svatos.
It's the same type thing. Yeah. When they're healthy and they have, you know, a fair amount of talent around them, you know, they can contribute, but they're not the type of player that can take over a game or stay healthy long enough to really see what they can do.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully, you never know about those guys. Brett Clark is another example to where who knows how healthy his shoulder was from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He had definitely had a down year last year, and a lot of people are disappointed with how he played. Who knows how healthy his shoulder was and whether it'd ever make it back to what it was when we all loved what he was doing on the blue line and joining the rush and everything. So,
TJ Hensick.
Hensick, I'm not a big fan.
Really?
He just doesn't do a whole lot for me as far as his size. I don't know how many shots on goal per game he averaged, but it wasn't a whole lot. And you just want those guys that would – he's stuck somewhere in between the AHL and the NHL. Mm-hmm. He has the skills and the talent to do really well in the minors, and they obviously bring him up whenever they get the chance, and then he comes up and he's kind of like a no-show. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those guys, whether he's out there or whether he's sitting on the bench, to where you won't notice him until like late in the second period. And you'll see that number 37 out there, and you'll be like, I didn't even know Hensick was playing tonight. So it's tough. Yeah. Obviously, I hope he, you know, grows in the game a little bit and with his experience is able to pick it up another level. Yeah. But
according to TSN, it's 116 shots in 61 games.
There's not many
scoring. 116 and 61. Yeah. That's not a lot.
Not many scoring chances in there either. I remember
four of them went in.
that's all you need to talk about.
17 assists, though, which isn't, you know, it's not awful.
So the shooting percentage is pretty low.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's just not one of those guys that's going to be he's not going to be an assist man. You know, he's a guy that you need to put the puck in the net. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think late in the season when who was the guy that did the backward – did the shootout against Budaj where he skated in backwards for the Dallas Stars?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name right now. But during that shootout, Hensick had the shot before that, and he shot like a foot away from the goalie and fell over. And I was just like, wow. So I'm not a big fan of his, and there's not a whole lot of guys on the team that I just really don't root for. It's not that I don't root for him, but he's one of those guys besides the Darcy Tucker and Tyler Arneson. I'm like, you got to give me a little more than that. So.
Yeah. Tarnquist.
Tarnquist. Yeah. He just didn't do much for me, and he didn't get to play a whole lot either. I mean, he got his face smashed in by a puck last year, late in the year. Mm-hmm. But I believe he's gone. I believe he signed with a team in Russia.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I did not
know. Some of the news, especially off the Avalanche side and the Avalanche feed, they don't let you know when guys go. But I believe he's gone, and it was just, you know, he'd be deeper in a hole based on the guys that they signed anyways during the offseason.
Well, that's the Avalanche for you. They you know, somebody will have surgery, and you know, the first any of the fans will hear about it is, oh, he had successful surgery. He had what?
He was hurt?
I'm sorry, what?
He left the game? What happened?
I want to talk a little bit about the defense, because I have my feelings about the defense. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a huge Brett Clark fan. Mm-hmm. And I became more of a Brett Clark fan when I started really disliking Scott Hannon.
There you go.
So,
all right, I hear you on that.
Yeah, tell me something I should be happy about that we still have. Like Brett Clark, it seemed like for a while was every time a bad goal would go in, it always seemed like it came off of his stick, you know, on a turnover. Or exactly. It always seemed like he was the big dog, and I was hearing how great he was. I'm not, you know, I'm still not feeling the love for the guy, but
my thing with Brett Clark is, like I said before, I think his shoulder is not as healthy as we would all like to believe. I mean, he blew it out two seasons ago before the end of the season, and He had certain. It was two seasons ago, and he came back last year. And he just wasn't the same. He wasn't that join the rush guy. He wasn't that guy in the Dallas playoffs that would join the rush and really get that money goal for you, at least create a chance. You know, he's always in the top as far as block shots, which is good. It's not good that your puck is in the zone, in your own zone, that often. But Peter McNabb put it best. I always remember him saying that, is that he's always in the right place at the right time. But to go with Scott Hannon, though, I'm not a big fan of Hannon either. But he's also a guy that you don't notice very often.
Yeah.
But he's not expected to score goals. He had one goal last year. He had one. I think he had one
goal, 9 assists.
Exactly.
Minus 21.
Well, go down the list. I mean, their plus minus was super awful. But, I mean, it's just one of those things to where Hannon is more solid of a defenseman and Clark is more of a jump in the in the play, kind of like a John Michael Lyles.
Hannon had the was the highest in the negative category there. So next would be minus 18 for Chris Stewart.
Yes.
So, you know. And then minus 16 for minus 19 for Milan Hayduk.
Yeah. So they're on the ice a lot, which is great, and you just don't know who to blame. And
you ever like wonder if he really knows what he's supposed to do with the puck when he gets it? He doesn't have that look on his face like,
Who's that?
What do I do now? Hannon. Yeah.
I can go with you on that.
I'm supposed to go with this.
His job is to jump on guys. The one thing with Hannon, though, and I don't know, based on what I see from him, his body language and everything, I don't know if he's that easy to get along with. I think he was pissy because of last season, and who wasn't?
Yeah.
But after some of the goals went in, you expect somebody to tap Budaj on the pads. Boy, he just turned around and skated away. And it's just there was something going on, and I saw it from Hannon the most, just because he was healthy most of the year anyways. But just not a whole lot of like leadership from him. Dater also told us that he and Foote had this huge meltdown late in the season. We talked to Dater for a while during the last game of the season at Pepsi Center. He said during practice he and Foote were in each other's face.
Wow.
Because Foote like hit him, he like grazed his helmet with his stick or something like that and didn't apologize for it. So I don't know. Someone's moving, by the way. I mean, they have eight defensemen right now, and that's without the guys in the minors. So I don't know whether they're looking to move his salary, but he's another guy like a Tucker that who's going to pay
who's
him?
Gonna take him?
I think he's four and a half a year. No one's going to take that, you know, for a goal and 9 assists and for a stay-at-home defenseman. But
minus 21 stay-at-home defenseman.
Exactly. Yeah. that's a bad combination.
Yeah.
But I mean, just watching him play, there's something going on to where he was not in a good place, and I don't blame him. It was a rough year. But that's definitely not the way to turn around. And I've watched enough sports and played enough sports to kind of get a decent feel for what's going on. And there was just something not right with him. And they just did not have the confidence in Budaj to really do anything. And Raycroft is Raycroft. You know, Raycroft he's gone too. Raycroft, So I don't know. Just keep watching that. And for everybody listening, see if you understand kind of what I'm saying. Just keep watching Scott Hannon when a puck goes in. You want that guy to not exactly give the guy a hug and say it's going to be okay, but a tap on the pad and saying my fault or whatever happened, we'll fix it.
Yeah.
I just didn't get that from him. He just got more and more frustrated, and that didn't do anybody any good being a minus 21.
Yeah, you're going to be the big signing, and yet you're going to be away over there. Yeah, it's when Ruslan Soley has more goals than you.
That's saying something right there.
Yeah.
Soleil, I was big on two seasons ago. Last season, it was just kind of blah.
Yeah.
But it was blah for a lot of guys. I know his name has come up as far as guys they're going to move, but again, he's making a lot of money. And two seasons ago, it looked like a pretty good deal on the trade deadline. And you were saying, I believe he makes a little over two. But I mean, you look at that and say, oh, that's pretty good. And then you watch him play last year. It's like, that's not working out too well. When they have eight solid defensemen, not necessarily solid, but eight healthy guys that
all look really good on paper too.
Yeah. You know, starting with Lyles and everybody like that, but they make the move yesterday for Brian Fahey, for Nigel Williams. It's like another defenseman, you know, let me know if you figure this out, 'cause I have no idea why they're getting more defensemen, but you know, we'll time will tell, and we'll see what'll happen with all those guys. They'll move somebody, though. They have to.
Well, you look at the top five, and especially money-wise, I mean, Hannon's making 4.5. Lyles is making 4.1. Clark is making 3.5. Soleil actually is making 3.275.
Man,
I was And off. Then Foote by 3.25.
I'm glad I'm not Soleil's agent. Man, let's just put it that way. Yeah, it's too much.
Tom Pricing, 2.75. So there's your six defenseman up top, and then after that it drops off into the minor league.
Who knows what they're going to try and do? I mean, and what you'd like to do isn't what some other teams would really like to do too. So,
you got to have a partner to dance with if you're going to send somebody somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, and nobody was really giving themselves good credits for their resume.
Yeah. And the one guy I'd kind of be disappointed if I saw him moved was Lyles. I really like his style. I think he's kind of built a home here. And people
doesn't he seem like trade bait whipping boy in a way? Like everybody wants to see him traded, but I can't see a good reason to do it yet.
No. And he's the one guy that, you know, if you're going to say he's worth the money that you just mentioned, he's the one. But again, some other teams may not see it that way.
Right.
But I really like his style. I like his upbeat. You know, he's not very physical, but that's just a size thing. He's just not a very big guy.
You know who would see that is the Toronto Maple Leafs of old.
Yes.
Before Burke with the finger.
There you go.
The finger deal.
Boy, he's got a steal on that one.
Yeah.
That was a great move by him.
I love that people get pissed off about that deal in Toronto. It's like, what do you want the guy to do? He's not going to say no.
No.
You know?
And that's like the Dan Hynote situation. And that's like guys, not Ian LaPerrier, you know, necessarily, but when a team is willing to pay you what you're worth.
Yeah.
And when a team comes and offers you maybe $1 million more than your team can afford to pay you. It's a tough decision. You know, with today's Avalanche, it's an easy decision. You go somewhere else.
Do you think Finger would have a 4-year career here continuing on if he'd have stayed? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
But you'd be stupid to turn that deal down.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn that down at all.
No, I'll take that. I'll take half that. quarter that.
taking half of that, actually, would pretty much be Craig Anderson, our new number one goalie.
I've heard a lot of experts say that's a great move. I didn't watch enough of him. I mean, obviously, when you're playing in the Eastern Conference, it's kind of rough to see a lot of their play. But a lot
and
of experts.
And backing up Thomas Volkoon, and who's going to get the number one spot? Well, your money guy, and who's going to complain about Volkoon?
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's been good for a long time now. But I've heard the experts really like the move. It's about time. I don't know. It's a lot like the Broncos in that this town is really having that hangover from John Elway to whoever comes in, and we're in that Patrick Watt to whoever comes in hangover right now too.
Right,
and we're expecting this big number one, and they're just not that easy to come by. Yeah. You know, the Martin Brodeurs and the Roberto Luongos are tough to come by. When teams get them, they want to hang on to them.
Yeah.
You want that goalie that can win a game for you. We haven't seen that for a long time.
Yeah, word is that they're shopping around Harding up in Minnesota.
That was the word that I'd heard before too. Yeah.
Partially because they just signed Dubowitz.
Oh, okay.
That's a pretty much brand new signing. So
Doobie's done well. You like to see those DU guys do well. I hope Anderson is everything that they say he's going to be.
I was hoping for Clemenson myself.
Yeah.
But, and it's funny because Anderson comes here from Florida and Florida gets Clemenson.
And Clemenson really didn't sign for as much as, you know, he might be
could
worth.
Could have, yeah.
You know, anything compared to Brodeur's, like, now what's going to happen? But
yeah.
It's about time you get a true number one. Budaj's had a shot. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Ray Kraft was decent for a while, and then he was just a big disappointment. And you know, you can't blame everything on the goaltending. You know, you're playing with a lot of AHL defensemen up there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need that guy to look at the game, kind of like the Ryan Smith, like I brought up. It's like there's no way you win that game without blank playing.
Right.
And the Avalanche haven't had that goalie for a long time.
Yeah.
So, and I'm one of those believers, if you don't have goaltending, it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to go pretty far and your offense can take you places. But if you don't have something solid in net, you really don't have a chance to go. Eventually, it'll go bad, like a Luongo. You know, he's good, but when it comes down to it, you know, he just doesn't win those huge games until he proves everybody otherwise. And as the further that goes, the more pressure he puts on himself. Mm-hmm. And then
Marty Turco.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love Marty Turco.
Yeah.
He's my favorite non-Avs goalie. I just love his style and I love how relaxed he is. But the fans are always all over the both of them. And before you know it, Luongo's crying in front of the cameras. And then there's even more to worry about. That's what he did this season. So,
and you and I are both jersey guys. I mean, we have both have a ton of hockey jerseys.
Yes, we do.
And I still have a third jersey from David Abisher. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really like David Abisher. And when they traded him, in fact, I put a black strip right through his name, kind of in solidarity. You know, do you think that ever since Patrick Waugh was a no-brainer? It's not, you didn't have to handle Patrick Waugh. You had to handle his personality. Mm-hmm. But as a player, you didn't really have to handle him. Do you think maybe that the Avs, is that something that the Avs have lacked since he left? Like maybe there's like that hole of not just of a super solid goaltender, but also somebody that, okay, we need to also be there for the goaltender.
You want that guy, and like I mentioned earlier, you want that guy that you want to make big plays for. You want to jump in front of the puck. You want to – one thing, I think it was McNabb or was somebody I was listening to, you know, something I remember as well, is like you can tell a lot by a team by when somebody hacks on their goaltender.
Mm.
Who jumps on who? And you didn't see a whole lot from the Avalanche last year.
Mm-hmm.
I distinctly remember one where an opposing player came in, smacked Budaj dead on the pad, and you can hear it throughout the building.
Yeah.
Tyler Arneson was standing right there and didn't do anything. So you need that guy where...
That's Tyler Arneson, though. I mean, yeah.
Well, it's just another reason to go.
Mouth breather.
I hate Tyler Arneson. You know?
Mouth breather.
Tyler, over here, over here.
From Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma City. It's a hockey hotbed. But, I mean, it's you want the goalie that'll say something to the guys, and you want the goalie that the guys will want to do it without him saying something as well.
Right.
And they don't come along very often, and you'd like to see that happen. Mm-hmm. So if you're a fan out there and you want to learn a little bit more about the game, pay attention to what happens when somebody touches a goaltender out of, you know, trying to get a rebound or whatever,
right?
And see who jumps on them and see who's really got who's back, because it's not, you know, something you say or this big show you put on. It is something you do during the game. Mm-hmm. And the Avalanche have missed that for a long, long time. And even Abishur, you know, you think about the trade and you go, wow, that's I wasn't expecting that trade either. Mm-hmm. But he lasted, you know, half a season in Montreal, and then he's gone. He's not even in the league anymore.
Right. He got, yeah, then he signed with Phoenix and yeah, lost the job there.
And then he's in the Swiss League before you know it. And then you wonder, was he really as good as we thought he was?
I tend to think that I really wanted to think that he was. I liked a lot of his style. I liked his positioning, and I liked his work ethic. I mean, that's we've had some good third goalies, you know, Vitali Kolesnik.
Exactly.
I mean, if only we could have, you know, made a spot for him, you know, and obviously he saw the writing on the wall and he's in the KHL.
Right.
Right now we have Tyler Wyman in the mix, who I'm huge on. I mean, when he was playing for the Colorado Eagles, I loved his style. I loved his work ethic. He was always ready. I think he'll get his shot next year, if not this year, depending on what Budaj does.
And they have Jason Bekashua, who I was very impressed when he came up with the Blues a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's just one of those things where there's a big jump between the AHL and the NHL. And if you don't, you know, the thing about Abishur that some of these guys don't have is Abishur had a pretty good team in front of him as well.
Yeah.
These guys don't. Mm-hmm. And it really, you know, I don't know. You need a goalie that you can build around, and that's kind of where everything starts.
Right.
You know, good centers are one thing, but a good goaltender that you can build a team around, a la the Devils, makes a big difference. And not everybody has that luxury.
All of the Canucks, all of the – I mean, one of the things I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, and maybe this is a good kind of point to do this, is looking at the rest of the Northwest, because my thing with this free agency period and even just the few days after, every team got better in the Northwest, including the Avalanche in goaltending. They fixed their – if Anderson's that guy, they fixed that need. But, you know, when you look around the Northwest Division, you really see like how solid some of these teams have made themselves, and much better. The Canucks re-signed the Sedin twins. Mm-hmm. Hobby Bolin goes in and replaces.
Where is he now? I don't even remember.
Yeah, exactly. Dwayne Rollison.
Exactly.
And you know, some people are like, oh, that's a huge. That's not. Yeah, that was a wrong signing because it was so long.
Right.
But hey, you know, that's a huge upgrade. I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at, and also they solved their coaching situation.
Mm-hmm. So did every other team in the division.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
The only one that doesn't have a new coach is the Canucks.
That's right.
So like, look at, I mean, going to the goaltending and the like, and how other teams improved, or if they didn't need to, a la Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the Avs are kind of fitting into the Northwest Division right now?
I don't think they do anymore, at least for the next season or two. It's just it, and the Northwest Division has always been that way, and I don't know what it is. And I think it's been always been the wild style of hockey where they're never going to be bad, and they're never going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Jacques Lemaire kind of slow it down and just kind of take advantage when you get a chance and things like that. But it's always been a rough division, and it keeps getting better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Calgary is just going to be really, really tough.
You know,
with Kiprusoff in net, he will win you games, you know, and he does very, very well. But I don't know. I don't see the Avalanche doing a whole lot this next season. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm wrong. But as the division, like I said, has been like this for a long, long time. You look at it top to bottom, it's rough. And everything's usually pretty tight, you know, depending on how healthy teams are. You know, even the Avalanche for a while last year, you know, people started to get worried about them when they started to play well for a little bit. But I don't know. I don't see them fitting in. It's a rough division, but it is cool to see quality hockey at a high level each and every night from everybody.
Even if it's coming at you.
Yeah, exactly. You always wonder when the night off is coming, but it's never the night off when you are the night off. So.
Yeah. Is it within the Northwest Division, just looking at some of the signings that happened, you know, with Havlat, Hobby Bulla, that, is there any of those signings that really worry you at all? Or
the Havlat, if he's healthy,
yeah,
I just love the way that guy plays the game. So I'm interested to see Minnesota post Jacques Lemaire and see how well they do, and just see a little different style from them, because you're just used to that old New Jersey Devil style where it's just like boring, but they beat you every night because they have a goaltender that can steal you a game. You can go right down the list. I don't know. Edmonton's not quite ready. They have the young players that are pretty tough. That, you know, the Gagnés and you know, even Curtis Glencross had a pretty good year last year. But you know, I don't know. I'll have to wait and see.
And then you insert that coaching staff that's used to working with younger guys. You
exactly.
Know,
it should be interesting to watch the division. I just don't see the Avalanche doing much, at least this year, with what they're made of right now. But if they stay healthy, which is something I always bring up in my show. If they stay healthy, anything can happen, and you play well at the right time. I mean, you don't necessarily need to be a high seed going into the playoffs. You just make it and be playing well at the right time. And if you can, you know, stretch that out for as long as you can, you never know. So there isn't one team that necessarily jumps out, but I totally agree with you as far as each team got a little bit better. And the Avalanche, like you said, with Craig Anderson, might have helped, but losing a Joe Sakic, there's no way you can replace him. It's going to take a season or two to kind of reorganize the leadership within the team. Yeah. You lose a heart and soul guy, whether it's to injury or retirement, it's tough to do anything.
We're kind of getting to the silly season, like the slowing everything down in the off season. Last off season to me was really boring, like just the most boring, tragic thing ever. So to kind of keep us, you know, looking forward, is there any, what are you looking forward to as far as next season? Like with what everything we're looking at right now, do you have anything that's really making you kind of excited for the next season?
It's kind of the spin that the Avalanche took on it. It's, you know, this is a new opportunity for the fans. It's a new opportunity to see a young stud that we've never seen before. We've seen trades before, but we've never seen that guy. They got to see it in Quebec. They got to see Sakic grow up. And I'm not saying Duchesne's going to be another Sakic, but it's an opportunity to say, this is our chance to kind of lay low, rebuild, do what we've, you know, what we need to do, but then start to build back up to where we want, what we once were. And that's how I like Lacroix saying it. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see what happens on the other end of all this. I'm not saying that, you know, they're going to be Stanley Cup contenders anytime soon, but I think it'll be really cool to see who sticks around and how hard everybody works and who gives up. And, you know, the fans that'll be there next season, if things don't go very well, are the real fans that'll be along, you know, the whole time. And that's guys like you and me and guys that really enjoy the game.
Yeah.
Everybody else is just kind of there because they want to go to work and tell everybody that they went to the game last night. So I'm excited to see if Lacroix's plan works out. If it keeps going bad, it's going to get rough. If I can't imagine it getting rougher. I can't imagine a worse offseason. I'd rather take a boring one like last year than the one that's between the Patrick Watt thing.
Conference, drafting third overall. Yeah,
it's a different feeling to be a little bit excited about that. But on the other hand, I think there's going to have to be some patience from Avalanche fans and just really understand what the organization is going through, especially losing, you know, a Hall of Fame player. We'll just have to wait and see and kind of see what happens. But, you know, a couple of blogging friends that I've talked to has said, you know, lay low for a couple of years and then go back to what you once were. You got the young studs that can play, and then you make those big free agent signings when you need to at the trade deadline, and you do what we've always been used to. Every organization goes through this except for the Red Wings, and it's not that we like it, but it's all part of the process, and hopefully the Avalanche and their fans and the organization will be better for it on the other end.
Anything in the rest of the NHL this year that really made you kind of stand up and take notice? Was there anything really exciting for you? Of course, you're an Avalanche fan like me, but...
I'm a hockey fan, for sure. Alex Ovechkin is just ridiculous to watch. And it used to be those rah-rah guys that kind of drove me nuts. It's like, that's not hockey, but just watching the guy play with the passion. He plays physically, he stays healthy. Just watching that is cool. And speaking of the Avalanche, the Penguins kind of went through the same thing. You get a couple good drafts, you get the right players in there, you get a solid enough goaltender that he can take you places, and big things start to happen. And people come back to the building and people say, oh, I was a fan all along, and people know if they were or weren't. But
we're Avalanche fans, and obviously we have our feelings about Red Wings and Red Wings fans and the like, and it seems that everybody seems to forget how it was 20 years ago for the Red Wings, and it was there were some rough times.
There was not as rough as everybody else's rough, but it was rough nonetheless.
They're pretty rough
there, but there's stuff that they're, I don't know, they do something right that just it worked, everything works out for them. They make the right draft, they obviously know what they're doing. You have to give them credit. I don't you know, believe me, no Avalanche fan loves the Red Wings, but you have to respect what they are and, mm-hmm. and what they stand for, the pride that their team has and the level that they play year after year after year.
Yeah.
And it's impressive, but it's tough to be on the other end of that when things were so good for
you
so long.
You never know. I mean, the Islanders used to be the Red Wings, and the Red Wings used to be the Islanders, and exactly. now, you know.
Exactly.
Remember when the Islanders were a dynasty.
That's right.
Those things just make people's brain explode when they think about it.
Now they've got the number one pick. They're vying for the number one pick. Whoever thought that would happen? And whoever thought this organization, the Avalanche organization, would be where they are? So yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens and you know, hopefully finding something to root for year after year. Mm-hmm. And they've got a lot to prove now, and it's a new opportunity, and there's nothing wrong with
that. As Colorado sports fans, we should be used to that in a way. You know, you have your big, you know, the time when the Broncos were great, and then the bus, you know, the wheels fell off the bus, and you know.
For those of you that aren't from Colorado, they're very fickle fans. They will come when they're doing well, and they will. There's no way they'll show up when you're not.
So. That's it's a funny thing when I look at the like we love hockey, a very Canadian sport, and you know there isn't a lot of. You know, you don't have your Vancouver sports fan. Maybe you have your Toronto sports fan, right? Mm-hmm. There's, you know, a few other sports. But in the States, when you have places like, you know, like Pittsburgh, where they have everything, you know, mm-hmm. except for an NBA team, but they still have the college, but, you know, New York and Colorado exactly. and LA, you have that local sports fan rather than just, I like my team. It's, I like all of my teams nearby, and people just don't quite.
None of the Colorado and Denver teams do well enough all at the same time for people to stick with them. So,
that's the truth.
It just kind of comes and goes. You look at a Rockies game and there's nobody there, but man, during the playoffs a few years ago, everybody loved Rockies. Yeah. I'm a Rockies fan and I'm getting tickets and, you know,
I got my jersey.
That's right. It's good for them. You know, they got what they I think they earned. They played very well at the right time.
We're all looking forward to the Nuggets next season.
Exactly. See, everybody's a Nuggets fan. Go exactly. Mello. Go Chauncey. Yeah. So I don't know. It's very much like that around here. I think it's like that in a lot of cities. Yeah. But I'm not going to claim I was a fan all along when I really wasn't. So I've been an Avalanche fan all along, and I definitely always will be.
And that's what counts. Being a hockey fan.
That's right. You got to love the game.
Cool.
Yep.
Jay, thank you so much for coming over and doing this. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. And I don't know. If people out there don't know where to find me, avshockeypodcast.podomatic.com. And if you're on Facebook, check out my fan page. The URL is really long, but just search for the Avs Hockey Podcast and become a fan.
And what's your Twitter also? You do Twitter?
Twitter is Avs Hockey Podcast. And I had to shorten the hockey because you can only have 15 characters. And Avs Hockey Podcast is 16 characters.
So nice.
Avs and then HKY Podcast. And then... you can always email me, avalanchepodcast@comcast.net. But
I will absolutely have all of those links up on the...
That'd be great. I appreciate it, and thanks again for having me on.
Cool, thank you.
All right.
That does it for episode number 41 of The Rink. You can always find The Rink at www.rinkpodcast.com, where you can find out how to subscribe to us on iTunes, find our Facebook fan page, our Twitter feed, or comment on anything you heard here. You can call The Rink at 845-704-RINK. It's 845-704-7465. And you can email us. The address is rink@rinkpodcast.com. Thanks a lot for listening to The Rink.